Other than settings, what's on your mind in admitting?
Nothing that a couple extra hours a day wouldn't cure.
You get busy with Supernova.
Yeah.
You kind of wonder.
I get real busy.
Yeah, you sort of wonder, what was I doing before? This time is like gone. You know, it's like all of a sudden I'm just like massively busy. But not guilty of not talking to people. So you get rid of guilt and you take on work.
Yep.
How is acquisition going? That's, everybody does great with calling clients. How is growing the practice going?
So I've brought in about $2.5 million in the last month or so. One from a new client, and the rest of it was from existing clients who I finally persuaded to roll money out of TIAA CREF and over into their IRA.
Yay, nice job. We used to always have real problems with that. People were crazy.
Anyway. By the way, I think I saw Dean's lips moving, but I didn't hear anything.
No, well, he can't talk.
Do I have an echo now?
No. No, you're good. Well,
okay.
You don't have an echo. I have an echo when you're on. So you talk and then mute.
Okay. I've brought in about $2 million, mostly from existing clients. Can't think of anything new right now. Although Brad uncovered an opportunity that looks pretty good. It's about 4 hours away from me. I'm going to go visit. Anything else new, Brad? I can't think of anything.
No, I think that's it. The opportunity that Dean's speaking to is actually a client that I inherited from a broker who retired and tried to do some work with him. He's got maybe 12 or 14 stock positions with me, but he was never particularly interested in doing anything. But I think that Larry has been able to persuade him to start a GPS, to start a financial plan. And we got him to enroll in what we call total wealth management. So he has revealed his entire portfolio to us, which I take that as a real positive, because I can't imagine he'd take the time to do that if he wasn't interested in what we had to offer. So turns out he's got about $750,000 with us, but he's probably got $3 million at Fidelity and Vanguard and retirement plans. And plus his wife owns two Hallmark stores. So, when I finally figured out that, maybe he lived fairly close to Dean's farm. So, Dean and I talked about it, and Dean said he needed to go up and visit his farm. So he's going to stop and see this guy either on the way up or the way back and make a personal introduction.
Great. What about your Christian connection? And that seemed like a pretty vibrant opportunity that you guys were pretty excited about. What's going on there?
Well, I don't have anything to offer right off the top of my head with Christian connections. It's something we want to work on, but I've been so busy with the opportunities that have come our way that it's been hard to peel off time to think about that kind of acquisition. Now, I will say that the team is getting together on Friday in person. We're going to have some pictures taken and go out to lunch. And Dean and I need to strategize with respect to what some webinars will look like for next year. So.
One of the things you might think about is getting excited and getting behind a cause that you think you can make a difference in, and starting to pull people together, even on a national level. I'm finding, I'm working on a project right now, which is more fun than I've had in a long time. And it's, what it does is it gives me an opportunity to open up to all kinds of people that if I were an FA or I was really cared about growing my practice, it would make a big difference. I think I will end up with a lot of opportunities from this particular initiative that will mean that I either hire some more people or I kind of step in a different direction in terms of running this or running Supernova. Anyway, but it's in terms of my energy, I just watch myself and how excited I am about this opportunity versus just doing what I've always done. It just doesn't seem, I mean, you know, you do this for what? I've been doing this since 2006. And it's great. And I love working with you guys. And I love teaching and coaching and watching you progress. But the difference between that and literally feeling like you've got a chance to change the world is pretty cool, right? I mean, that's a lot more fun. So you guys have got the right stuff and your heads are in the right place. It's just a question of figuring out a problem that you can work on and, you know, coming together with a plan and fixing it or joining up with somebody else to fix it. I don't mean joining a, you know, becoming the president or chairman of a national charity or something like that. That's just hard administrative work, right? I mean, something that you really see a big hole and nobody's quite getting it right. And you think you could probably do it. So maybe part of your brainstorming could be that. Because I think, you know, you guys were pretty fired up about this idea. And I don't hear any energy around it right now.
Have you heard there's a pandemic going on, Rob? Any news about that?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, I think it's sort of the opposite of that. I think for the first time, you can pull stuff together that you just haven't been able to, that you, like you're going to visit 4 hours to go see a guy, right? Well, that's great. But, you know, if you could Zoom with him, maybe it'd be 50% as good as seeing him in person. Anyway.
No, I like that because I don't think there's any lack of things that Brad and I together aren't passionate about. It's whittling down into one thing we both are passionate about, both agree on. I'm not worried about the agreement part, but we need to do that. I've been thinking a lot about, you know, community development or yeah, we can talk about that later, but I would agree. But the initial focus was on Christian business leaders, Christian business people. And we've looked at several things on, there's several organizations out there that are doing things, but it's getting our head around what direction we would want to take that. Is that a fair assessment, Brad?
I would be curious, though. I mean, Rob, I'm not asking you to divulge anything you're not ready to divulge, but I mean, could you give me a little more specificity with, or something a little more tangible? Along the ideas of what you're talking about?
Sure. Look at me light up. And this is what you want to do with your clients too. Make sure you know what they're excited about, because they're going to be much more excited about telling you something like this than they are going to be talking about stocks and bonds and, you know, beneficiaries and stuff like that. When I started my foundation, probably in 2000, I had the intention of fixing the problem that Dean and I and all managers have had in our industry, which is they tell us to have a diverse boardroom, a diverse population, and we don't have one because there aren't anybody, you know, the population we're picking from is four guys. And when we pick from the universe of, you know, Caucasians, you've got 4,000 men and women compared to four. And so as a manager, I was really frustrated by it because I hate failure and I hated the idea that this was even an issue. So I tried to fix it and failed. Then when I started my foundation and said, okay, I'm going to throw scholarships at this, we're going to go it from the college up and get these people so they're comfortable in the boardroom and are trained. And I gave a bunch of scholarships and people became CPAs and attorneys and other good things, but none of them became financial advisors. So I didn't fix the problem. My son-in-law was looking at my governance of my foundation and said, you're not doing what you said you were going to do. Because now I'm giving a bunch of scholarships to diverse population of athletes, which is much more fun. And I go to games and go to travel to Hawaii and watch the golf team and things like that. So it's fun, but it's not doing what I said I was going to do. So I said, okay. And I got together with Curtis Brown, who's my partner in this endeavor, one of my partners, and he's African American. And I said, Curtis, I need to fix this thing. Nobody's doing it. And everybody's throwing money at it. $30 million. Morgan Stanley gives $30 million to historically black colleges and universities. And good, that's going to make great scholarships, but that's not going to put anybody in our business. And our business is a gold mine, if you haven't noticed, where you work hard, but you also get paid and you have no boss. And it's a fabulous job. Okay. And you make a lot more than the average person on the earth. And it's all being wonderful, but you're not changing the community. And your boardroom looks the same. So you guys are getting rich and giving away to scholarships to other people that deserve them and doing wonderful things, but we're not moving the needle. And then Black Lives Matter happened and, you know, AOC's talking about revolution and socialism and communism, and that's a much better way than capitalism. And I'm like, we better do something, because people aren't being taught that the American dream still exists. AOC doesn't believe the American dream exists. It's over. Game over. Well, that's BS. So we got to make a bigger pool, and we got to train people properly. We got to bring them in. We got to give them jobs. And so I've got friends that I coached that have done very well, and I happen to be African-Americans. And one of the keys is to train them to get their CFP and to be valuable, to be a partner on a team. You've got to create value. So what we're going to do is give 100. We're going to try and graduate 100 kids a year into our population that are properly trained, have CFPs, understand technology, LinkedIn, have been through internships or work study programs, are being mentored, and are being coached all the way along by credible coaches. Then they'd come to you and you'd say, yeah, you're well-trained. Got your CFP. You are, you know, bright, and you're in. I'm going to make you a partner. You know, I'll put you on the team. And anyway, the probabilities of success, if we do that, go from like 10% up to like 80%. And everybody benefits. And the problem is all of ours, because this isn't going away. And we're not going to have it fixed till we actually do something about it. I've got my development committee, and then I've got in terms of, I've got like six committees over here that I'm building, and I'm talking to people all over the country, and I'm having a blast. And people think it's a really good idea, and they want to, you know, so far I haven't gone to the big firms, but I need to, you know, get four firms, the major firms, to support this idea. I've talked to college presidents, and they love the idea, and they're willing to build the curriculum. I've got a call coming in with the Institute for Designations, and they've got scholarships available for kids like this to get their CFP. So I think people are willing to throw money at it, but I don't think that causes it doesn't do a damn thing. You got to get them good jobs, and then you got to coach them through the process of how to be successful. And once you've done this as long as you guys have and I have, we know a lot, right? If it were anyway, I think we can do it. It's a big job, but it's a lot more important than golf.
Well, a little bit.
I know it's still fun to win the club championship, but I can do both.
There you go.
Anyways, that's what it is. So I might be coming back to you guys and ask you to take on a partner that might be a diverse partner, but has been highly trained, recommended, screened. You know, gone through the RobNet training course. And what I'll do is I'll get a bunch of other trainers, you know, Dave Mullen and his group and Matt Oxley and some of these guys. And then I think I can put together 100 FAs, African-American FAs that have been successful, and have them be all mentors for these guys. Then you're going to have 100 every year. That's a lot. Anyway, we don't have to have 100, but you start with a big goal, and then we'll adjust.
You know, a resource, Rob, you might want to consider would be the Ron Blue Institute at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Really?
Yeah.
Diversity. Here we go.
Not sure that you'd see a lot of diverse faces on that campus. But you ought to look into that, because they have CFP degrees. You think that'd be a good fit, Brad?
Well, yeah, it'd be even better fit if a person were a Christian and wanted to apply Christian principles, because, Indiana Wesleyan is a Christian university, but they offer Rob, there's, you know, the organization that Dean and I have been very active in is Kingdom Advisors. And yeah. Kingdom Advisors offers a designation called Certified Kingdom Advisor, which, by the way, Morgan Stanley just a couple of months ago acquiesced and allow us to use that in our bio, put it on our website, things like that. That's a different story. But for somebody who wants to earn that designation and the CFP, they can earn them at the same time at Indiana Wesleyan. But you triggered a thought with me, and I won't go into it right now, but Dean, it's something you and I can talk about on Friday with regards to what Rob was just sharing and exhorting us to think about. You triggered an idea, Rob.
Well, that's what, you know, it's not somebody else's job. And you do it one at a time. You know, I went to a firm when I may have even shared this with you. I went to a firm when I first started Supernova. And they loved it. And I said to them, let's do it. And they said, well, the problem is we have 14,000 advisors. How are we going to do this? How are we going to leverage it? I said, one team at a time, one FA at a time. And they said, oh, no, we can't do that. It'd take too long. You see? And, you know, 8 years later with a different firm, I went through and coached 3,000 FAs. Okay. And changed their world. So you can do it. You can do it one at a time. Do a good job. Build your reputation, your brand, and you change the world.
So by the way, Rob, before I forget to say it, I mean, if you ever do want to approach Morgan Stanley with this idea, this concept, they have just within the last couple of months created an office of diversity and inclusion. And I could get you, Dean and I, either one could get you the name of the person who's running that office, because I just know enough from the emails that we get that Morgan Stanley would be enormously interested in this project.
I think it's just what they need, okay? Because it's so self-serving. At the same time, it's very philanthropic. Right. I mean, and we're not going to make investment bankers, and we're not going to make analysts. We're going to help create financial advisors, and we're going to fix the boardroom issue.
Right.
And we're going to change the communities they live in, and we're going to teach them philanthropy and how to pay it forward, and they'll all become coaches. They'll all become mentors for each other, because servant leadership is part of what we teach. So having a Christian, maybe the kingdom group, could be engaged in this.
Well, that would be one avenue, but I'm just thinking even from a broader perspective. I mean, this issue is something that Morgan Stanley cares deeply about. And Dean and I have a friend, Mandel Crawley, who is a Christian, but he's also the head of private wealth management at Morgan Stanley, and he's African American. And I just know Mandel would be very, very interested to hear about this. And I'm quite sure others would too.
Well, you know, we haven't approached any of the major firms yet, because we want to have our act together. We don't want to know, you know, we want to have the colleges lined up first. I don't think that's going to be a problem. We're going to have five colleges, historically Black universities. One is already they just built an $80 million business school. They're over the moon over this idea. They want to build a curriculum designated for it. And they said, we'll get you the designation. Well, I was like, are you kidding me? This guy, David Wilson, look him up sometime. The most impressive guy. Started as a, you know, sharecropper's son. None of the family is literate except for him. And he's a PhD from Harvard that is running Morgan State University. And these are the people you meet when you get on this train. Yeah. You know, it's so fun. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just like, whoa. This is going to be a blast. So
well,
come on.
When you get to the point you're ready to talk to the big wirehouses and you want to speak to Morgan Stanley, let us know and we'll be happy to make introductions for you.
Yeah, that, I really would appreciate that. Because you guys know, I'm not doing this for, I've never done Supernova for anything but to help and improve the client experience and improve your experience. And we give everything back. We don't keep anything. It's just a great place. And for your retired people, try and get them to think about this place. Okay. I've always said my job is to live the dream so that others would get it. And the dream isn't having the big yacht. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not. That's no fun. I mean, it's okay. Yeah. I've been on them. This is much more fun. You guys know that.
Yeah.
But you don't just do it. You know, good works do not get you into heaven, right?
Right. Amen.
So this is not to get into heaven. This is because it's fun. And it's sort of our job, you know? It's always been our job. Anyway, so maybe when, I don't know where we'll be, but yeah, do I want your help? I'd love your help. I'd love your help as coaches, as team that accepts a nice candidate, you know, whatever we can do. I mean, when it comes down to it, somebody's going to have to say, yes, I will accept this person on my team. I will coach them, and I will not do it as just, I will do it as a mission, not just, oh, I'll hire a guy. This is a mission to change the world. And look, these guys are brilliant. You just have to find the right one, right? I'm going to try and pick from the same stuff I always pick from, right? I was good at hiring. And I want, you know, I want people that have had their nose bloodied, that are tough. A lot of them will be athletes, former military, you know, whatever I can get that proves that they're a fighter, a scrapper, a walk-on on the whatever team. And you know, they're just but they're the social chairman for the fraternity, right? Because they're Mr. Personality. So you got to have a combination of weird things, optimism and toughness, to be good at what we do. So I think
just one other thought, Rob. I'm thinking, you know, even beyond mine and Deedon's capacity to add a team member, you know, our new complex manager, Mike Green, is African American. Wow. And our new business development officer is African American. So, you know, the Indianapolis complex, which entails 8 offices, I think you would have a very open door with Mike Green just here on a local level.
Is he good?
Yes, he is. You know, wow. When Kathy retired, I was really nervous because I'd worked for Kathy for 25 years, but Mike has been wonderful. I am very impressed with Mike.
Oh, that's great to hear. See, we're going to do it. And it isn't where it was when I retired. I mean, you know, in 2006, it was like nowhere. We're actually making progress now. But I think we need this pipeline. And
yeah, Mike isn't there to fill a quota. He's there because he deserves to be there.
Right. That's right. Why I asked the question. I'm, you know.
Yeah. No, I know. But people don't want to fill a quota. If you're going to say you're going to earn your way into this, then game on. Let's go. But if it's quota filling.
No, I'm not.
People.
Dean, you know me.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. But Mike's a great guy.
Rob, would part of the objective be, you know, for these FAs to come in and implementing Supernova right away? Or I guess that's kind of where I'm seeing what you're talking about interweaving with sort of where I am in this path and, you know, thinking about, I know you've talked and Brad and Dean have kind of implemented this, you know, on a cutoff date and, hey, I want to do this by X date. And for me in developing my book and looking at, yeah, I am over the course of 2020 really seeing the capacity issues more than ever, trying to interweave that into becoming Supernova or being much more in line with what that process looks like, but over a slower time frame. So with these FAs, or in my situation, how do you see kind of that process having to play out? Is it typically need to be from day one, or Caleb, you really need to commit to cutting off, you know, and implementing this on a drop dead date, or no, it makes sense to do it over 3 years if there's revenue reasons to do so, or is it more just, hey, rip the Band-Aid off and do it?
Well, it's a philosophical discussion, but it's also fundamental. So do you want to play good ball or do you want to play the old game? So as far as I'm concerned, anybody that wants to be successful in the business today needs to bring the Supernova brand with them on every call, whether it's a new client, a new prospect, or whatever you're interacting with. You are the brand, and Supernova is your brand. Multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, two in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. So what a powerful thing compared to I'm young, I'm new, and I'd like your business. You know, so you need to have plan, process, and rituals about every part of your process. So your investment process, your prospecting process, your investment process, and your service process, those all have to be in place. And why can't they be in place from day one? So your skill set isn't one of, oh, all of a sudden I'm going to be a good FA. I'm a broker up to this point. Now I'm going to be a real wealth manager, financial planner. No. You start out doing it right, and then you continue to do it right. You pretend as though you've been in the business for 20 years right away. Nobody knows, you know, nobody's really going to ask you how long have you been in the business, right? I mean, they're really not going to. If you can, that's why we want you to have your CFP. You know why? Confidence. Supernova gives you confidence. These guys are more confident than before we started Supernova, even now, even with as much experience as they've had.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you can take on a $100 million client and they're not going to get anything better than what you're giving. That's a big difference between that and we're going to make you an A client, but, you know, we're not sure whether you get a birthday card or not. So we're going to train them right from day one to be good FAs. Now, they can screw up and decide not to be Supernova FAs, but we're going to train them to be good, and we're going to train the teams that they're going on to make sure that they're good. So we're going to train the teams for 2 years, or we're going to mentor for 3 years of mentoring while they're the same mentor will mentor them from the time they're a sophomore till they're 2 years in the business. Hmm. 5 years. It's a big job.
So what would you recommend like those FAs to make as their minimums then? And to really, is there, whether it's me or somebody coming in new, like, hey, if they're not going to do 100 and manage money with you, is it a case by case thing? Or do you think even as they're doing it from scratch, hey, you know, you got to cut, or, you know, I'm probably not the best fit for you, or we'll find the right fit for you.
I would say that the minimum should be where you get paid. Most firms don't pay you under like $250,000. So why would you do business under $250,000? That doesn't mean you say no to those other people, but what you do is you show them a place where they can get good help and get serviced and taken care of, or you take them on and don't get paid, but use them as a center of influence to develop other business. So the exact same things I'm saying to them apply to you. I mean, from time to time, Brad and Dean will take on a client that's below their minimums because the guy's the CEO of a company. He's going to get $20 million, you know, in 4 years. So that's not a difficult decision, but you're not going to take on $50,000 rollovers from, you know, a company that's going out of business. So, because that's just a waste of your energy and time. And do Supernova right from the beginning, 1242 and all that stuff. So you get used to it, use the folders, use all the scheduler, use all that stuff. So that when you do build your practice, you are building it on a solid base, build the house right. And then it will grow properly. And you just hustle. You gotta do all the things that are in my book in the Supernova Multiplier. And you got to do more. Like when I started, I had 10 niches, not two like I tell these guys to do. I had 10 because I had no business. I had time and no business. So I had 10 niches and I called them all the time. And you know, these guys know we used to get the phone book for different companies and call everybody in the book.
Those were the good old days.
Those were the good. You can't do some of that stuff, but you can network your brains out, and you can use Zoom like crazy. So
yeah. As an Edward Jones guy, I knocked on doors. I didn't do the phone book.
Right. See, Tuesday, every Tuesday, I knocked on 35 doors. As a Merrill Lyncher. Nobody did that. On my way from Hingham, Mass. To Boston, there's a highway, right? And I would call on all the businesses along the way. And I never went to the coffee shop and I never took lunch. I worked all day. And then I'd go to work that night. I did Tuesday night, and my goal was to get a card from everybody and write on the back of it what they wanted. I never gave them anything but my card. And I said, everybody should, you're in my territory. I'm here to serve. What can I do for you? What do you mean? Merrill Lynch has assigned me to this territory and you're part of it. I'd like to take care of you. Really? I said, yeah. My brother worked for Dictaphone. That was his territory, right? So I said, hey, that's a good idea. It'll be my territory. And they said, I said, what stocks do you own? I said, such and such. Everybody needs to have Merrill Lynch opinion on your stock. Let me get you an opinion on. And then I made sure, do you have a Merrill Lynch account? Oh, yeah, I have Tony Cloutman. He's a great guy. I say, great. And then I proceed to ask for introductions. Who doesn't have a Merrill Lynch account here? They go, oh, such and such. He's a great guy. Boom, I go over and meet him. So I get everybody else in the plant. Tony'd have one. I opened up more accounts than anybody in the office. I won. You know why? Because you got a free lunch every month if you open up more accounts than anybody else. I had no money. I had a wife and two kids, and I'd gotten out of the Navy, and I had no money. I took a pay cut to go to work for Merrill Lynch from the Navy.
Sounds familiar.
So I opened up an account every single day I went out doing that. Now, maybe not that day, but in follow-up, I kept track of it. I had a book. I put all the cards into a book, kept track of all of them, call them all the time. It was great. People would be like, you again. Come on in here. I got stories like crazy. Dean, you got stories, right? Knocking on doors. Got great stories. Yeah. I knock on businesses, but it's the same thing, you know? It just, you got to be present. So anyway, have fun. I think we're out of time. Great, great conversation. Come up with, you know, if you want to, hey, this is brand new. I have no idea what I'm doing. So if you want to work on this project, come on. Curtis said, Rob, you don't want to tell everybody about everything. They'll go and do it. And I said, good. If they do it, then I wouldn't have to.
I think this whole mindset, like you said, AOC, and we've got to push this leftist movement back. There's a great book out I'm reading now by Rod Dreher called, oh, my gosh. But anyway, he's going into this, and it's a scary time. And so do we just sit by and do nothing? Or do we train people who don't have anything to help themselves through the capitalistic system and hard work and stuff that works? Because we know the other stuff ends in tears and bloodshed.
Awful. Look at Venezuela.
Oh, yeah. Cuba, North Korea, Venezuela.
I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Not only do you not, I mean, you talk about, I mean, you know, as a Christian, you got to have a mission to convert a few people, right? And if they're communists, you're not going to convert them. They believe in the state is God.
No.
So, I don't know. I think.
Yeah, Live Not by Lies. That's the name of the book.
Well, look, you know, we've all been blessed. We're here for an instant, You know, here for such a short time on this planet. You know, it's just if we can do a few things to make it better for other people and have some fun doing it, I just think it's wonderful. Anyway, so love to have your help. And when I get to the point of calling the big boys, I'd be sure to call you guys and ask you. But I think Mike Green, that's a great introduction.
By the way, before we get off, I would be remiss if I didn't say how much I appreciate Caleb's Illini orange garb on today. That's pretty big of you there.
Yeah. Happy to represent. Happy to represent for Central Illinois. And we'll see what they can do this year.
Yeah. You're my favorite Purdue fan. Yeah.
Gotta get that in there.
Yeah, right. I think that's a signal. We're done.
I think so. Yeah, anyway, see you.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, guys.